Hey, everybody. It's Maria Boyington reporting. Today, we're talking about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Domestic violence. My guests today are Alma Davis. She is the founder of the Alma G. Davis Foundation, and Gabby Stroud. Ladies, how are you all doing today?
We're great this morning. Thank you for having us.
Alma, we grew up knowing that domestic violence is when there is some type of abuse.
Right.
You know, from one person to another. What else do we need to know about domestic violence?
Well, with statistics being one out of every four women, one out of seven males, domestic violence is very rampant, but we don't talk about it enough, even though it's so common. Only 5% of cases are reported. So when we actually look at the numbers of the other 95%, numbers of statistics are more like one out of every two women, one out of every four males. And you're looking at 85% of child abuse cases come from domestic violence households. Over 10 million teenagers a year deal with domestic violence households. So it is rampant all over the place.
The Alma G. Davis Foundation.
Yes.
When did you found it?
We founded it in 2005, so almost 14 years ago.
Why?
Yes, because I am a survivor of domestic violence. I grew up in a household of domestic violence, so that became my norm. And at 14 years old, I had my very first set of black eyes at 14 from another 14-year-old boy because that's what he saw at home. So without there being resources out there, we continued to think that was normal. So that went on for years. But in that, not only did the abuse come from him, I was sexually assaulted. I was raped by his best friend at 16 on a Saturday. On that Sunday, he beat me for allowing it to happen. And one of the other things that we see so much of is by the time I got to school on Monday, it's what we call being re-victimized. Everybody knew and everybody blamed me. So domestic violence, just it's a vast thing that happens, but there are so many other things that are attached to it. And it's important for us through the foundation to let people know that there is help out there. We start as young, working with young girls and boys as young as 13 years old. Because it happens in your teenage years, it happens in your college years. We see adults, we see it's the number one issue on college campuses. It's the number one issue in the LGBTQ community. It's one of the highest incidence of rate in the AIDS community, as well as in a lot of elderly abuse.
Now, you said that you came from a household
Yes.
of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on there?
My father, he was an alcoholic. And a lot of times you see with alcohol or drug issues, there's a lot of abuse that takes place. So when you dive into domestic violence is about control. Although the number one reason why people stay in domestic violence is due to finances, lack of or control of domestic violence is all about control. So when you add on, I grew up in a city where there was a lot of, my parents were older, so there was, when you look at age-wise, when you talk about all the unhappiness or the slavery and all that kind of stuff, that stuff is hereditary. It's just a common cycle. And so my father served in the military. So when you pile on all those types of things and just what people endure in a community as well, there was a lot of anger. And so a lot of times people don't know in relationships how to have, number one, healthy relationships, but how to deal with anger and how to do that in a positive way. And so it comes out in abuse.
In the end, how did you get out?
I got tired of being beaten. I got tired. As a matter of fact, I thought the day I got out of it, I thought I was going to lose my life, and I didn't care because it was my way of fighting out. It was a very ugly means to end where I did fight back and he got hurt as well as I did. That's when I received my second set of black eyes. But it was important for me when I got out that day to make sure, number one, I didn't want to have children because I never wanted a child to go through what I went through. And I never wanted a child to, I didn't know how to be a good mother. But that's not what happened. So when I had my oldest daughter at 23, I made it a life commitment that I would break that cycle and she would not repeat that. And from that, I became an expert in the subject. I became an expert on the book side of it. But coming from learning what took place, what happens, I just made up in my mind I was going to do something about it. And doing something about it was starting the foundation in 2005 and helping survivors.
I was talking to Sherry Boston, the DeKalb mm-hmm. County District Attorney, recently, and we were talking about domestic violence homicides.
Yes.
And she said, It's getting worse.
It's
getting worse. She said that it's at epidemic levels. What are we to do with that?
Again, it's about educating people, helping people get the resources that they need so they understand they don't have to stay in those situations. Number one, understanding what those warning signs are. There are plenty of warning signs prior to staying in that type of relationship. But when you don't know what that's like, or if you think that's normal, you will continue to stay in that. Georgia, we've actually, I hate to say that, we've gotten a little better. I think last year we were ranked 8th. We're now ranked, I think, 13th. It's still an improvement, but that's still high when you look at across the country. So it is imperative that people begin to understand. Number one, speak out. If you see it happening, you have to be able to help other people. So many children that are in domestic violence households, so many adults, they don't have a voice. So by speaking out or even offering help, giving them the number to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE, you know, giving people resources, that's the only way we'll start to help survivors and help lower these numbers.
What's that number again?
1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E.
Okay, everybody, you have the phone number there for help. Gabby Stroud, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. You're a survivor?
I am. I have been a survivor since 2012.
And a survivor of what?
I'm a survivor of domestic violence. My last incident was on March 15, 2012. I was stabbed 13 times by my boyfriend.
You say you were stabbed 13 times.
Yes.
How does one get into that kind of a situation?
So I was a sophomore in college. I attended Florida State University, 19 years old, and it was about a 6 to 7 month relationship. Very short, but the relationship was very intense. I stayed for several reasons. I stayed because, one, I loved him. You know, he was my first real boyfriend. I stayed because I was in denial. I didn't really understand that I could be going through this. You know, I thought I was grown. I was in college. I had my whole life figured out. And I thought he loved me. And I stayed because he would threaten me as well as my family. And I stayed because I was embarrassed. You know, I didn't want, both of us were very popular on campus. And I didn't want people judging me. And I wanted to put on this facade like everything was okay. But it wasn't. So I put up with a lot of abuse, emotional, physical, verbal. I put up with everything. And March 15th, 2012 was the last incident where he stabbed me 13 times because I was finally ready to leave him. And the last thing he said to me was, if I can't have you, no one else can. We're going to die together. So he stabbed me and then he turned the knife on himself. He didn't die because luckily, my roommate was home, so she was able to witness everything, and she called the resident assistant because I was living in the dorm on campus at the time, and they called the police, they called the ambulance, and we were both rushed to the hospital. After that, you know, I was able to be sent home to Orlando where my family lived, and I finished the semester out there, and I went through a trial the following year. Now, the trial was a week-long trial. Unfortunately, it was a hung jury. They couldn't come to a unanimous decision. And I didn't understand why people didn't believe me. They didn't believe my story. So I had to do it all over again the next year. And after that trial, he was found guilty for second-degree attempted murder, and he was sentenced to 20 years in prison.
What did the first jury not understand?
You know, it has a lot to do with who you pick on to be on the jury. And I know, I don't really know all the details, but I know that there were about 2 men on there who didn't want to convict him.
And that's one of the things we see all the time. That's why victims are afraid to come out, because they feel like they won't be believed. I mean, mm-hmm. when we look at the case that just went on in the Supreme Court, you know, victims deal with all the time that they are not believed. People don't want to believe that this other person can do something like that horrific to another human being. But that's why we see the numbers of only 5% of people reporting cases, because they're never heard.
And when you watched the Brett Kavanaugh hearing.
Yes.
What were you thinking, Alma?
I had so many emotions. When I listened to her, I always try to make sure I put myself in the other person's person's shoes. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I can say, you know, we're not allowed to just jump to conclusions about things because, number one, we were not in that room. But what I can say for a survivor or a victim, there's certain things you never forget when you're in that, because they're embedded in your memory. How someone smells, how someone looks, that smile, what's around the room, little things that a normal person may not pay attention, even down to looking at the light bulb maybe on. When you're going through something like that, you focus your attention on something else to try to give you some type of breath of life or some type of hope. And it was just ironic to me that she remembered small details. So to me, it's hard to fabricate those kinds of things. And he came off to me as very nonchalant, as if he didn't care, as if he was untouchable. And you do see that a lot. Not saying he's innocent or guilty, just saying that is a common characteristic you see of an abuser, because it's as if it doesn't touch them, it's not them.
We're talking to Alma Davis, founder of the Alma G. Davis Foundation, along with Gabby Stroud. They're both survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Both young, beautiful women. And I look at you and say, how could someone raise a hand to such beauty? How could anyone raise their hand in anger to anyone?
Right. Well, before the physical, there are so many other parts of domestic
like
violence.
What?
So you have the verbal abuse, mm-hmm. not knowing how to talk to someone, belittling someone. You have the mental abuse, the mind control, the games. You have isolation. You have all kinds of things. You have the financial abuse. You even have the sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. The physical abuse is the last aspect. So that's why we try to teach people there are so many other red flags prior to the final. You even see things where if you're with a partner and he threatens your children or threatens animals, those are major red flags. And so when it's all about control and, like Gabby said, not wanting anyone else to have you, people will go to unhealthy depths to try to keep that. And that's where the abuse comes in. Under the mental part, there is a lot of you're not beautiful. Nobody wants you. With the whole isolation, abusers isolate you from family, from friends. So the only person that's in your ear is that abuser.
Mm.
And so from that, and that's one of the reasons. So a big component of our foundation, we do a big celebration every year. Our 10th annual one is in 2019. It's called Dinner for Divas. And the whole thing is we take 200 women and beautify them, celebrate and honor them. Because the point is, if I can show you how beautiful you are on the inside, then I can get to your outside, because you don't feel like that way when you're in domestic violence. You don't feel beautiful because of what that person has said to you.
You've been through it, Alma.
Yes.
You founded your organization, the Alma G. Davis Foundation.
Yes.
And you have a beautification event for these ladies.
Yes.
Is it always so easy to get through to them that you are beautiful? Or how difficult or not is that process?
No, it's not easy. It is not easy. Because again, you're a voice that's fighting a voice that they have been in love with, or a voice that's been in their head for so long. It's a different spin for us to show them, because the thing for us, if we show you in front of a mirror, we have beautified you, you have your makeup, your hair, your nails, your etiquette, you have on a beautiful formal gown, you feel like the princess that you wish you were. And then that begins, a part of that then is begin to talking to you and unravel all those layers that have been put on. Understanding what is the underlying reason why you felt like you had to stay in this situation. What is the piece of the puzzle that makes you feel like you're not your worth? And then begin to address those things. So through our foundation, we offer therapy classes, psychotherapy. Our survivors go through 6 weeks of psychotherapy classes to deal with the underlining issues that allowed you to stay in those type of situations.
How long does that therapy last? Does it depend on the depth, or does it depend on Each individual's
a little different. We do standard 6 weeks classes, but then once you graduate, you can go to another set of 6 weeks classes. So we deal with that. We deal with financial literacy, because so often we see people get in these situations and stay because of money. When you look at the Ray Rice situation, you know, a lot of athletes, when you look at a lot of these shows like Atlanta Housewives, different things, people want a certain lifestyle. So they will stay in situations that are unhealthy or demean their characteristics just for that, for the monetary value. And that's why we teach people financial independence. You don't have to depend on somebody else. We will give you the tools that you need so that you don't have to stay in a relationship just to get finances.
And is that the reason we hear families say, I didn't know them when I finally saw them again? They didn't look the same.
Yeah,
they were a different person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, everybody, this month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're talking to two survivors here today. Alma Davis, founder of the Alma G. Davis Foundation, and Gabby Stroud, a young woman who was stabbed 13 times, and you were able to heal and walk away.
I was.
To what do you attribute your being able to survive 13 stab wounds and to be able to be here today to talk about your experience, Gabby?
You know, I just want to be able to help others who are going through this situation. I know for me personally, it was extremely hard being someone who was highly involved on campus and have that happening to me. I went home, I finished the semester, and then I went back to Florida State. My parents did not want me to, but I had to because I said to myself, if I stay home in Orlando and I do not get my degree from Florida State, I'm going to feel like he won in the long run. And that's not the case. You know, you just because you go through something like this or you come from a household of this situation, you can come out of it and you can be stronger. Everything happens to you for a reason. And that's what I tell myself every day. You know, I still cope with it a lot. I go to therapy. After the incident, I went to therapy for 3 straight years and it helped me just being able to talk to people and actually open up about my situation.
How often did you get this question and what did you do when you answered? What'd you do to make him so angry with you?
Nothing. I did nothing. I was myself. I always wanted to hang out with my friends. I'm a people person. And he would always tell me, you're in a relationship now. You're not supposed to be doing that. This is what people in a relationship do. And this was my first real relationship. So I'm listening to everything he's telling me. And like Alma said, you know, when this is the person that you're seeing all the time, you start to believe it. I didn't get to see my best friends as much as I used to. And they knew something was up and they would tell me, but I was so in denial because he was my first love. He was my first everything. I didn't want to hear it.
That is the isolation that we're talking about, pulling you away from people around you so that abuser's voice is the only voice.
She's already away from home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you tell people, family members, Alma, when it comes to if you think something might be a little bit wrong or something is a little bit different mm-hmm. about the child that you've sent away to mm-hmm. college, mm-hmm. as Gabby was, what are parents to do?
They're supposed to be vigilant. Take notice. Don't just brush it off as if, oh, that's just they're in college. No, be vigilant. Continue to call. Continue to check. Make pop-ups. Mm-hmm. Make pop-ups. Stop it. Go to the university. I know it takes time, but that's a part of parenting. That's your job. Our kids didn't ask to be here. You know, so a part of parenting, go down, check on your child. If you're feeling like something is wrong, try to reach out to their friends. Give them, try to become that other voice that's in their head. Remind them of who they are. Remind them of it's like positive reinforcement because you're trying to unwind whatever that gut feeling is telling you, trying to unwind those different thoughts that's being put in their mind. So I always encourage parents. I'm a parent myself. I call. I don't care if my children get tired of me. I want to know that they're okay.
You're listening to Alma Davis, founder of the Alma G. Davis Foundation, and Gabby Stroud, a survivor. They're both survivors. Gabby was stabbed 13 times. Alma, you kept getting the black eyes. You came from an abusive household, got your first black eyes when you were 14 years old. Everyone, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. What do you do? What do you say? What's the advice? Gabby, what do you say to people who are in college? What do you say to the youth who might be in this type of a stressful relationship? If you're in this type of a relationship, what do you do?
You have to talk about it. You have to open up to your friends. Do not run away. I personally was very private. I distanced myself from my mom, my sister, and you can't do that.
What is it, embarrassment?
It's embarrassment. You're in denial. You're afraid. I didn't tell my parents because I was afraid that he would hurt them. Mm-hmm. You know, I was embarrassed overall, and I felt like I had it all under control. I said, yes, at the end of it, I was like, yes, okay, I am being abused, but I can figure it all out. You know, I put myself in this situation. I always blamed myself, and that was another thing. I would blame myself for a lot of the things because he would make me feel like it was always my fault. So I told myself, you know, I'm the reason why I'm in this situation, so I'm going to get myself out. No one is going to help me because they're not going to understand where I'm coming from.
And you've never been through anything like this before?
Never. Never.
What happened first? Did he hit you, punch you, pinch you? What happened first?
The first incident was in his car. He threw my phone, and this was right after Christmas. He brought me a Michael Kors watch, and he ripped it off of my wrist, threw it at me, and then he slammed my head against the dashboard.
And it was a short relationship. So the abuse kind of started right away.
Right away. We started dating in September of 2011, and my final incident happened March 15, 2012.
And that's when you were stabbed 13 times?
Yes.
Where is he today?
He's in prison, sentenced to 20 years.
It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Alma G. Davis, founder of the Alma G. Davis Foundation. You hear so many stories from young women and young men too, I guess.
Yes, yes.
When does the cycle end? Do we know? Is it possible for it to end?
It is possible for it to end because I made sure I did what I needed to do to end that cycle from that happening to my daughters. And a lot of that came from, again, educating. We can't tell you enough to pay attention to warning signs, to red flags, understanding what those are, even understanding what goes about in a domestic violence relationship. So as Gabby stated, like when her first incident happened, knowing to step away and what to do, very similar to hers when my first set of black eyes, I was in the car and we got into an argument and he punched me. And it was shocking because it had never happened, but you got to understand the patterns of an abuser as well. Once that happened, it was, oh, I'm sorry, I love you, buys you gifts. If you're sexually active, wants to have sex, you know, to make you feel like it's okay. I don't know what happened. So understanding the behavior patterns of an abuser so that you will know this is not normal. Again, understanding people's background. If they came from a background of that and they have not received the help, and help doesn't mean overnight, they've not received long-term help, there's a high percentage that there's still that abuse inside of them. Most abusers were victims first, so you have to understand that. So these are a lot of learned behaviors. When a baby comes out, they don't know how to be argumentative, how to be angry. So a lot of this is learned behavior patterns. The other thing I have to say is about, I tell people, if you see it happening and you don't say anything, you're just as guilty as the abuser. When I got those black eyes, I got out of that car and I had to go into the mall because I had to do a modeling show.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in the chair with makeup artists. I had a cut under my eye. My eyes were swelling. They not one time asked me, was I okay? What happened to you? I was young, 14 years old. All they did was put makeup on, even as they touch me and I'm bleeding out of my face, it was, let me just clean it up. And that's a lot of what we do in real life. We cover it and we keep moving and we clean it up. Had somebody stopped that day and showed a real concern or interest in me, that could have changed my life. I wouldn't have stayed another 3-4 years in an abusive situation, but nobody did. So that's why we are adamant through this foundation to let survivors know we are here, we are a resource, you are not alone, and we're here to show them that you don't have to be in that. I'm that voice to help you because you don't have a voice.
And Alma, so many don't live
so many
to tell
don't.
About it.
Mm-hmm. So many don't, unfortunately, so until it's too late. Until it is too late. So that's what we want to help stop.
Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You've been listening to Alma G. Davis, founder of the foundation, the Alma G. Davis Foundation. And Gabby Stroud, you were a student in college.
Sophomore, yep.
A sophomore in college. So young, so sweet, so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone decided that they wanted to put their hands on you.
Changed my life forever.
Forever.
The website is www.almagdavisfoundation.org. That's A-L-M-A. GDAVISFoundation.org. The number to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, again, that number is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. They can also go to our website. There are resources on there. How do you plan to get a safety net? How do you get out? Understanding statistics, knowing what to do, finding shelters, all of those things are available.
And Gabby, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you.
Yes, I can be reached at info@almagdavisfoundation.org. Just send me a quick email, attention Gabby Stroud, and I'll be able to reach out to you anytime.
Ladies, thank you for being so brave to come in here and to share your stories with our listeners today, okay?
Thank you.
Everyone, I'd like to thank you for listening. Again, it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Heed the message. If you're a victim, you can get out. I'm Maria Boynton.